folks. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. I guess we're on episode 10 now. Glad you're with me, and wanted to take care of a little bit of business before we talk about the issue today. The issue we're going to talk about today, though, is homeschooling as a means of building a legacy. We're going to look at five reasons why homeschooling is most suited to building a legacy. And so this should be a good podcast for you, whether you are homeschooling now or whether you are considering homeschooling or whether you never even thought about homeschooling. And maybe this will be able to give you some insight as to why those of us who do it, and maybe encourage you to follow suit as well. But before we do that, I want to take care of a little bit of business. First of all, visit us at the website, thelegacypodcast.net, and download some of the resources that we have available for you there. And make sure that you subscribe to the podcast either through iTunes or through the RSS feed on the website. And then also you can subscribe to be a part of the community and get updates and in news information, that kind of thing, by subscribing on the right-hand margin of the website. And that would be great. Anybody who actually subscribes through that email update list will be able to get a resource I'm providing to you for free, which is a free money verses list. It has a list of a bunch of different verses in the Bible related to money and categorized by various ideas or subject matter, and should be of value to you. So that's what you get if you subscribe to the email update newsletter list. And you can do that on the right-hand side of the webpage. Connect with the Legacy Podcast on Facebook, and then give us feedback, whether you make a comment to one of the shows that we do, or you can write to me directly if you have questions or suggestions or need clarifications or want to just make a comment, put in your two cents, whatever it is. I'd appreciate your feedback, and give me feedback at feedback at thelegacypodcast.net. So that takes care of the business section of today. So let's go ahead and get started into the content. Five reasons why homeschooling is most suited to building a legacy. Well, the first reason is you get better relationships, or you build better relationships. Now, one of the criticisms that many people point out or try to point out with homeschooling is, what about socialization? I've heard that so many times, and there are so many people who bring that up as one of the first questions about homeschooling. And I would say that's the reason why I do homeschool, is because they get better socialization. And they get better socialization with their siblings. They're able to interact better with children of various ages. They're able to interact better with their siblings. And, you know, the relationships that we foster in our homes can be the longest lasting of all relationships. And if we cannot foster those, what relationships outside of the home are going to be any better than that? And so building relationships with siblings, there's more interaction there. The older ones can help the younger ones and can be an example to them, a model for them, and they can follow in the footsteps of their older siblings, and that would be beneficial for everyone involved. And so you have better relationships among siblings, also better relationships between parents and children. You know, the more time you spend with somebody, usually the better relationship you have with that person. And when parents are carting off their children to various schools and not able to spend the vast majority of their day with them, they're missing out on a great deal of opportunity to build relationship with their children. And then they wonder why, as the children get older, they don't want to be at home. Well, it's because they never really learned to be at home. They never developed a relationship with their parents, but they developed relationships with their peers at school, and so they want to be with them. You become most like who it is you are around the most. And so when kids are around other kids, they become more like those kids. But when those kids are around parents, they become more like their parents. You know, it used to be, if you looked at generations, they looked very much like their parents' generation, whether it be through the clothes that they wore or the way they conducted themselves. There was a resemblance between one generation to the next. But nowadays, that's missing. You see that one generation actually tries to buck the generation that tried or that tried to raise them. And with each generation, there is this idea that the next generation is superior and needs to do their own thing and create their own music, and they can't do what their parents did. Well, that's because they've been around peers and socialized among peers rather than around their parents. And so you get a better relationships between children and parents. You know, there's a proverb that says, Proverbs 13:20, says, "He who walks with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." And I don't know of a more descriptive term for peers than fools. And that brings up another relationship area, and that is they're not spending time with their peers. And probably one of the most detrimental things occurring among most young people is their desire to impress their peers. And by doing so, they get involved in things that they shouldn't be doing. I can remember back in my days when most of the stuff that I did that was stupid, foolish, however you want to term it, most of the stuff that I did then was because I was trying to impress peers. And that was because my socialization was around the peers. However, when our socialization is around our parents, we want to impress our parents, we want to impress our siblings, and so we do the things that would be pleasing to them. And so you build better relationships there. You also build relationships with various age groups when you're homeschooled. In other words, when you go to a regular school and you're segregated up by age, you seem to only be able to relate to people of your own age. In fact, you don't want to relate with people of other ages. You just want to be kind of in your own peer group, your own age group. But when you are raised in a home and have homeschooling as a center of your raising, then you have a tendency to spend more time with diverse groups of people, age groups of people. And so you can get along with younger kids, you can get along with older kids, you can get along with grown adults. Parents have somebody over, you're able to communicate with them, and you're able to communicate with various age groups. And so your socialization, your relationship with them is better. So that's one reason. Another reason is for instruction. In other words, when you are homeschooled or when you homeschool your children, you are able to interact with them and instruct them on a teacher-to-child ratio that is far better than any school can do. You know, it's been proven that the work of tutors is so effective in part because it is a one-on-one relationship or sometimes a one-on-two relationship, but the ratio of teacher to student is very good. And so the same thing is true when it comes to homeschooling. The relationship between a parent and a child is such that even if they've got 3 or 4, 5, 10 children in their home school, it's still a much better environment, much more conducive to one-on-one instruction than it would be in a large group setting, such as in a school system or something like that. And so there's a lot better instruction that way. There's no way that one teacher and a teacher's aide can give the proper amount of attention to the 30 students that they are trying to teach to get them the kind of instruction that they need so that they can learn the things that they need to learn. But when you're at home and you're in a homeschooling environment, you can provide the proper instruction for them. And then along with that is curriculum. And the curriculum in a home school can be catered to the individual needs and the individual desires of the student. You know, children develop differently. And when they are placed in age-segregated categories, they may not be on par with others of their age in certain categories, but they may be well above that same group in other categories. And yet when they're confined to an age segregated system, it makes it impossible for them to excel, and it makes them impossible to grow in the areas at their levels that they need to grow. But when you're homeschooled, that's totally different. When someone is homeschooled, they're able to develop at their own rate, and they're able to learn according to their own standards. You know, there's some people who are visual learners, or some people who are audio learners, auditory learners, and you know, there's all different kinds of learning styles and learning methods, and who better knows that than parents, and who better can cater the instruction towards the needs of the student in those regards. And so they're able to get a better education because their instruction can be better. And you know, there's this criticism or this question out there whether or not parents are qualified to be teachers. Well, there's no one better qualified to be a teacher to their student or to their son and daughter than the parents are. God has given them the authority, God has given them the ability and the role as instructors, as teachers, and so they're the best equipped in God's eyes to be the teachers and to be the instructors. And so curriculum can be more suited to the student. And they also don't have to learn all this useless, politically charged material that is often circulating in the various school systems in order to please various legislatures or political groups or something like that. They can learn based upon the standards that the family has and based upon the morals that the family has and based upon the worldview that the family has rather than the worldview of a system often contrary to the scriptures. And then also there's learning at a free pace, not a forced pace. This goes back a little bit to the various developmental stages of the student, but it also goes a little bit further than that in that, you know, you can have a child who can become an expert in a certain area because if they have an interest in that, you can focus a lot of their attention on that. You don't have to teach them from a particular book that's supposed to be a standard for everybody in that classroom. I remember reading some things in class that I was just totally bored from because it just was not of interest to me. And so I would bring other books that I would read that were of interest to me. How much better would it be if I was able to read those books and learn and be allowed to explore the areas of my interest and learn that way than to have to learn a certain particular curriculum and certain particular forced pace through material, but I could, you know, work at my own pace and learn and dig deeper on areas that were interesting to me and, just kind of skim over things that weren't of real interest. It allows for excellence over mediocrity. You know, when you are in a school system where, you know, you've got 30 kids or so in a classroom and there's no way that the teachers can teach to the top level of kids. And there's no way that teachers can teach to the lower level of kids. They have to teach to the medium kids. And as a result of that, they are, the students themselves are not able to really excel the way that they need to. And so instruction can be improved or is certainly better through homeschooling. But also time restraints are lessened and time is allowed to be more flexible with homeschooling, which can be of huge advantage both to the student as well as to the parents. You know, I wonder sometimes how much wasted time there is in a typical day in most school systems. You know, the school hours are far less when you homeschool. Most families, even those who are very rigorous in their homeschooling studies and have all different kinds of various curriculum that they go through, can usually complete all the work necessary, including what would be considered homework, in about half the school day. And so if they only have to go to school for half the time, that allows them then to have more time available to pursue other interests or to pursue a business or to work with their parents in their business or the family business or whatever it might be. And that allows them to have a greater diversity of experience and a more practical experience in many ways. So they can spend their time doing other things. You know, I think of especially, my wife actually used to teach kindergarten. And when I would go to those classes sometimes, there was a lot of time that was spent waiting in lines and, nap times and all different kinds of things that really were of no educational value and could certainly be done more efficiently and better at home with a lot less cost and a lot less time. And so time is a big factor when considering homeschooling and passing on a legacy through the education. And then, of course, evenings also are not tied up in doing homework. Most of the work can be done throughout the day, and so that frees up time in the evenings so the families can spend time together rather than having to, you know, stay up late or do all the various homework assignments that are assigned to the kids. And, they don't have to do the busy work that's required throughout the day, and then in the evenings they can get all that done, which again allows them also to pursue other interests. You know, my kids, my oldest boy, he's always had an interest in farming, so we've allowed him to pursue that, and he's He has then, as a result of that, been able to start a farm and participate in that and with us. And he operates almost all of the animals on the farm, so the chickens and the sheep and the cow, and he operates all of those on his own. And he started this several years ago. He's now 15. And none of that would have been possible had he been going to a traditional school with set hours and homework and all this kind of stuff. But now he can check eggs throughout the day because he's here. He can, you know, work on projects as he needs to in the afternoons. It allows him time in the evenings. And he's also recently taken up a real interest in guitar and music. And so he's able to pursue that. And, you know, those things, although you can pursue music in the public school or government schools, not to the extent that he can now and with certain time frames. And so that's just one example. The other kids are involved in other activities, and they, of course, are able to pursue those to the same level as he is because of having this time freedom that comes with being homeschooled. Another aspect of the time that is an advantage is that they can take time off according to the family schedule, not according to the schedule of the school, which allows for more flexibility. Field trips can be done when schools are in session and, you know, when there's no lines that have to be waited on or anything like that. We can go to various field trips and take advantage more efficiently of those trips because of that. And then also, you know, if a guest comes or someone comes over, our kids can take time away and spend time with that guest and be a good host to them and entertain them and learn from them and things like that, which wouldn't be the case if they were in a traditional school. And then also, they can arrange their schedule around family businesses and real life experiences. And so, like, as I mentioned earlier, you know, my kids can sometimes go working with me, or we can work together on the farm, or, you know, things like that that wouldn't be possible if they were in a regular school, because it just wouldn't work out. And so sometimes when my kids are with me, they're asked, you know, aren't you in school? And we explain that we're homeschooled, and that just wouldn't be possible otherwise. And so the time is a great resource that we don't want to waste if we're trying to pass on a legacy. And when we are being able to homeschool our kids, then it allows us to use that wisely. And then also, the environment that is made in a homeschooling setting is the best kind of environment for creating a legacy of independence and freedom and continued learning. And so I want to look at that for just a moment. There's no need to live in a certain area, for one, which is a great advantage. A lot of people move to a certain suburb or a certain place, certain county, because they heard the school systems are really good there. And so they're confined to that location if they want to be a part of those schools. Well, when you're homeschooled, you can live anywhere because it doesn't matter what the school system's like. In fact, you know, the school system around where I am is really bad. And if we were dependent upon educating our kids through that school system, they would get a poor education. But because we homeschool, we can live in the rural area where the resources are not good for schooling and yet still give our kids a great education. So the environment is important in that matter. Also, there's different distractions. You know, when you're in a regular school system where you've got kids of the opposite sex, you know, that's a distraction on many times and for many kids. And yet when they're at home, of course, those distractions are not there. Now, they have other distractions, honestly. Sometimes it's noisier, I think, at our house with a lot more activities going on than there would be in school. But they have to learn to deal with some of those and concentrate and have a focus. But it's a different kinds of distractions. And I think they're healthier distractions. They're more real-life distractions that are there. And then also, being in a home school allows kids to explore without risk. It allows them to be more creative without the risk of ridicule. All it takes in a school system of peers is for one of those peers, maybe a popular one in particular, to say that a child's idea is dumb, or that, you know, they shouldn't have said that or something like that, to really stifle the creativity of that child. But in a homeschool setting, they're encouraged to take risks. They're encouraged to think of new ideas and to explore new things. And not only are they not laughed at when that happens, but they're actually encouraged to do that. So it allows them to explore and to take risks that they wouldn't ordinarily take out because of the environment of being there. And then it also fosters this idea of learning as you live. They can integrate learning in all of life. And so there's teachable moments that can take place. There are situations where you can directly apply what is being learned to a various situation in real life that wouldn't happen if they're confined to the school setting of a traditional school. Yeah, this also is, you know, there's the immediate application of learning. For example, you know, our kids may be learning math, and then we can go out and we can apply that as we plant seeds or as we, you know, count how many new lambs were born or something like that. And it takes what they're learning and puts it into a context that helps them to remember and enables them to learn and apply the material much faster and in a more conducive setting. So that's a benefit to the environment. The older boys can read to their siblings, to the younger children, and this allows them to practice their reading. It allows them to spend time with their siblings. It allows the younger ones to learn from the older ones, to respect them, and also to appreciate what they're doing and reading to them. And it works all the way around because of that environment. And it also develops an environment of independence. It creates self-learners, self-study. A lot of the studying that goes on, a lot of the learning that goes on in a homeschool is self-done, where there may be some direction by us as parents, but a lot of it is the child learning on his own and exploring on his own and doing things on his own. And this allows for an independent type attitude when it comes to learning, where they are able to learn certain skills, but then take those skills and investigate and explore for themselves into certain areas. And this, really leads to a good environment for learning. Parents, by the way, can't say, well, I'll let somebody else do this. This environment requires a responsibility upon the part of the parents, which is a good thing. That responsibility makes the parents grow and develop and learn and continue to increase their own understanding and to continue to grow themselves. And so, you know, it creates this idea of responsibility and taking responsibility. And anytime there's freedom, of course, that comes with responsibility. And so, you know, there are some people who say that we need to put restrictions on homeschooling families so that, you know, people don't get away with not doing what they're supposed to do. Well, I say no, because as soon as you start putting restrictions on families, you also take away some of the freedom that's there. And with freedom comes the opportunity to fail. And I want to be able to have the opportunity to succeed. And when you put restrictions on people, yes, some may fail, but it also allows for the freedom to succeed as well. And so it fosters that that idea. And then also it just creates this idea of, well, if we can homeschool and we can educate our kids without government interference or without the influence of governmental schools and things of that nature, what else can we do on our own? It creates this whole idea of self-sufficiency and independence and doing it for ourselves and taking responsibility for ourselves. We become less dependent upon the government, less dependent upon the state, less dependent upon others, and more self-reliant and independent. And that is, created in the parents, but it's also created in the young people as well that are being trained up in that environment, because they see that, they experience it, and then they also are to take that to heart. So we pass on from one generation to the next this whole understanding of being able to be free and without the influence of the government, which is a huge benefit. And so we have, so far, good relationships, better instruction, more flexibility to our time, a more conducive environment. And then number five, biblical responsibility. And by that, I basically mean that it is the responsibility given to parents by God to educate their children. I have several passages I want to read here. And the first one comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it's pretty in-depth, but stick with me here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, it says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God is commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." That sounds like a multi-generational legacy of abundance to me. "Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," the Shema. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by your way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, I don't know how you can do that when you relegate that responsibility to someone outside your home, but when it's in your home, when you're homeschooling your children, you're spending time with them as you should, as a father to his son or a mother to her daughter, you're able to teach them diligently. And this basically means press upon them, force upon them, talking of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That covers all of life right there. And you can only do that when you're homeschooling. Number 8, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of house and on your gates." And then Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "And you shall teach these things to your children and to your grandchildren." Deuteronomy 11, 19 says, "You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by your way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, speaking to Abraham, says, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." And then one of the most favorite scriptures of mine is Psalm chapter 78, verses 4 and 6. It says, "We will not hide them." Actually, the whole chapter or the whole psalm is good, but I'm just taking out verses 4 through 6 here. "We will not hide from them to their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known to their children." So far we have two generations. "That the generation to come might know them." That's three generations. "The children who would be born." So this is the grandchildren. Those that hadn't been known yet, that would be born, would be able to know it. "That they may arise and declare it to their children." So we have four generations here that is being spoken of. And this is, you know, this is the classic text for a multi-generational legacy. And I want to be able to pass on the faith from one generation to the next. And I believe the only way really the scriptures give us of doing this is through homeschooling. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. "And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." And, you know, as we are given responsibility and we take that responsibility and we run with it, we grow as individuals as well. You know, there's nothing like teaching somebody when you learn yourself. And the more you teach somebody, the more you learn, the better you learn. And so God has called us as parents to teach our children so that we would learn these things. When they ask us questions, we have to look it up. We have to come to it. We can't say, "Oh, ask the pastor that," or "ask the Sunday school teacher that," or "ask the teacher at school that." No, we look it up, we learn it, we grow, and then we teach it to our children. They gain a respect for us for learning it, and we are able to impart to them the things that we learn, and they learn it from our perspective, and we are to pass on that legacy. And so homeschooling is one of the most central, if not the most central, aspects of passing on a legacy from one generation to the next of abundance. And this is true for passing on the faith, and it's true for passing on a family legacy as well as you build these different relationships. So I've got several different links I'm going to put into the show notes that are some other examples of lists that people have made as to why they homeschool or reasons for homeschooling. I've kind of summarized them here into these five headings of relationships and instruction and time, environment, and biblical responsibility. But there are, you know, there are a host of other ones, and I'm going to put a couple of links on there if you want to do that. So I just want to speak just to a minute for those of you who may be considering homeschooling. Maybe you've got some, a young baby or, a toddler or something like that, and you're at the stage now where you've got to decide what to do with that child. Well, I want to encourage you to homeschool. I want to encourage you to homeschool for these reasons and for many others, and you won't regret it once you do it. Is it a hard thing? Sometimes it is, but it's a whole lot easier to homeschool and to see the fruit of that as they mature than it is to deal with the children who are more concerned about their peers and the pressure that have been put upon them from their peers than it is to take the responsibility to homeschool. And so I want to say to those who are considering homeschool to do it. It's worth it. But I also want to give encouragement to those that are homeschooling. And when I read through this list, you probably are familiar with many of them, and sometimes you can be discouraged and wonder why you're doing it. I want to give you some hope and some encouragement and let you know that you are doing the right thing and that you are building a legacy for generations to come that you don't even really understand yet what will happen and the power and the impact that you will have upon your children's children to the third and fourth generation. And so keep it up, take the responsibility, rise to the occasion, and fulfill the mandate to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and to teach your children and your children and your grandchildren after them. Fight for the freedom to do it and, work to take away restrictions upon homeschooling families and be a part of a community where homeschooling is allowed and encouraged. And so with that, this has been episode 10 of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy? I want to leave a legacy years from now.